As we watch the civil uprising in urban centers around the world, and as we witness anarchy take over the public square and see rebels deface statues and bring them to the ground, we grieve and lament our losses. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that Jeremiah the prophet once lamented too. He was grieved over the rebellion of his people and their subsequent exile to Babylon. The lessons in Jeremiah's Book of Lamentations are strikingly relevant for our times. Chuck titled today's message, None But the Lonely Heart.
All those years he lived in his beloved Jerusalem, or at least near there, and he would often be in the city. And while in the city, he took it as the opportunity to warn the people, it will not always be beautiful like this. You will not always have the festivals like you now enjoy. You continue in these idolatrous ways, you will know judgment from God. It's coming. They didn't want to hear that. They gagged him every way they could, but it never silenced his message. Tradition has it that the prophet sat and wept in a cave on the western side of the city. Remember, the people were led into exile toward the east, toward Babylon. He sat far away from that as he could, couldn't bear the sight of watching so many strong and capable men and women pushed out of the city, treated like cattle, their children beside them, disillusioned, hollowed eyes, as they're making their way toward what? A land they'd never been to, that spoke a language they didn't know, representing a culture that was foreign to them, all because they refused to hear and heed Jeremiah's warnings. Jerusalem, once full of people, is now deserted. Once the queen of all the earth, but now a slave. And the consequences are just one page after another after another. It's the lamentations of a broken-hearted man who must have said to himself every night, it need not have been. He says it. Verse 5, her oppressors have become her masters, her enemies prosper for the Lord. There it is, Yahweh, personal name for the living God, for the Lord has punished Jerusalem. Make no mistake, it's the judgment of God. Verse 12, does it mean nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see if there is any suffering like mine, says the city, which the Lord brought on me when he erupted in fierce anger. Verse 14, he wove my sins into ropes to hitch me to a yoke of captivity. Eloquent way to put it. The Lord sapped my strength and turned me over to my enemies. 15, the Lord has treated my mighty men with contempt. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, all the way through. May I remind all of us, our God is a jealous God. He's a holy God. He doesn't share his glory with any other. He's not one among many gods. He is the one and only God. This is not one among many references to his mind and his word. This is the reference. This is the document. This is the direction to follow. Printed in our language, so that we can read it regularly, right here. And all the way through, he tells us the truth. He alone is the Lord. Hold your place here for just a moment and go back and look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2. We've gone back to when he was a younger man. Bakken was just getting started in this work of preaching and prophesying. So he's now gotten the message from the Lord, verse 1. The Lord gave me another message, so it's the Lord's message. Let me cut to the chase, verse 12. The heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay, he's telling the people, says the Lord. He's giving the Lord's message. For my people have done two evil things. It's pretty clear. Any child that can count to two can understand this. One, they have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. And two, they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. All of this in picturesque language, as poets write and prophets prophesy. They have passed up the water of life that I'm free to give out, and infinite in mercy and filled with grace and love and mercy, ready to for you to relish in the living water, and you turned your back on it. And you chose to dig your own cisterns, and they're cracked. They don't even hold water. If I were to take my time to go further, he would talk about the city has died. It's lost its dynamic, its purpose, its calling. Erosion has taken hold, and it's drifted from its purpose when it was a great city under David, when its boundaries were expanding and the people listened to the one who led them into the truth of God, and they followed. No longer. Not now. These are consequences that come as a result of doing what is wrong. It's hard to hear. It's not easy to preach. I much prefer messages on grace, but that's half the message. Mercy, that's half the message. This is serious stuff going on. So let me say, by way of application, as I wrap up our thoughts, and I'm not going to do it quickly, I'm going to do it carefully. Two things I want to say. Our times need to grip us emotionally. They need to make us cry. They need to make us cry. Rather than resisting them or finding fault with something or looking to someone to blame or finding the individual that we don't agree with and then landing on that person, cry that such a time has come as this. Cry over the biblical ignorance and resistance you find at every turn. In every public forum, the Bible is resented and resisted. Try to bring a verse of scripture to bear in whatever gathering you're in that isn't a Christian gathering. You'll be tossed out or at best ignored. How about the political corruption and anger? I've never seen it worse in my years on this earth. Never have I seen politicians treat each other in such an ugly, discourteous manner. Literally hating one another, despising others that are involved in the leadership. It's heartbreaking. The racial prejudice and the injustice, as justice rolls down, you may not like all of it. I'm not concerned over what you like or don't like. It's there. And it isn't going away. You and I were raised with it. It's time we come to terms with it And we began by crying about it. Crying that our parents didn't stop it in our lives, but in some cases even encouraged it. How wrong is that? The social violence and the destruction, how wrong is that? The destruction of cities, how wrong. The personal disrespect of law and order, I have to address that. It makes me want to cry. The one agency designed to help us keep law and order is now up for grabs. Heart goes out to them. Some are bad, that's right. There are some bad ministers. And it reflects on the ministry as a whole. It reflects on me, and I resent it that some take advantage of congregations. They're in it for themselves, and they don't preach the truth. They're self-serving. I resent that. I resist that. But they are few compared to those that are standing strong and standing firm. It makes me want to cry. But there's more than just crying. The other response, we need to wake up. We need to stand up. We need to speak up. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. You call those people heroes who spoke up yesteryear. You call Wilberforce a hero for standing against slavery when he stopped it in England. Whatever may be your opportunity, take advantage of it. Like the sons of Issachar, who understood their times and they knew what Israel should do, and they did it. They did it. And God blessed them for it. Let me put it this way. Maybe you don't have a platform. Maybe you don't have what you would call the gifts for this. But maybe you don't have the strength for it, whatever that may mean. You may feel that's your reason for not stepping up and standing up and speaking up. Then support those of us who do. Support this ministry with sacrificial giving. Support ministries that are doing that faithful declaration of the truth with your gifts. If you can't be the one that goes, support those that do. Stand with us. Pray for us. Pray for us. Miss a meal and fast as you pray for us. It's a lonely journey. It almost made me sick last night as I thought about it. It reminds me that we have a voice, and that voice needs to be heard, because there are some who are helpless. They can't speak for themselves. And I will tell you, when we do, God will honor it. In fact, He will come to our rescue. He will. I'm convinced He will bring good out of all of this. I'm convinced that God is in it, and that God will bring a wonderful change in some way. Don't know when, don't know how, don't know through whom. I don't know. I would love to make a prediction. Every prediction I make falls flat, so I'm not going to run there. But I will tell you this, in the last days, desperate times have come, not will come, but have come. Savage times. We're living in them. We're living in them. And if nothing else, it should awaken us to pray like we've never prayed in our lives, for God to step in and do a work. Change our hearts in the process, change others. I close on a beautiful, encouraging note. Strange thing happened in the life of Peter Tchaikovsky. I found in a little work I was studying years ago, the more he engaged in his writing and the more driven he was in his compositions, the more he withdrew from the public, the more depressed he got. Like everyone who gets depressed, they withdraw. And the more he withdrew, the more the public withdrew from him. And ultimately, he began to really suffer financially. And he realized he won't be able to continue if this keeps on. In 1876, when he was only 36 years old, a very unusual event happened to Tchaikovsky. He was contacted by an anonymous admirer who was wealthy. This individual made it clear that the money would be there when he needed it, but there was one requirement: they must never meet face to face. So from age 36 till he died at age 53, he never saw the individual, but the money came. Money was provided. He was able to go on, and many of his writings came, many of his compositions came as a result of that person's support. He had no idea who it was till the day of his death. When that arrived, the individual showed up and they met face to face. First time, only time. She had been a wealthy widow, and she took such a delight in his work that she decided that's where her money would go. And she assured him at the time of his death, it was well worth every bit that she had invested in him. The analogy: someday we'll meet our Savior face to face. You've never seen him. I've never seen him. But he continues to meet our needs in marvelous ways, ways that we would run out of time before we run out of ways to express it. All through our years, God has stepped in. The Lord God has faithfully met our needs. Someday when we are on our deathbeds, we will hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and we will ultimately see him face to face. And there will be the beginning of forever, when we will join hearts in eternity. I would love to think that we do so remembering days like this, times like this, when we didn't waste them. We saw through them. And we realize that this is exactly what God predicted would occur. Read it for yourself. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3, clear as it can be. In the last days, savage times will come. It's where we are. Let's stand alongside one another during times like this. Let's stand alongside those who have been mistreated, who are broken, confused, yes, angry, trying to figure out life. Let's be what the wealthy widow was to this Tchaikovsky, so that that individual can go on knowing we're there standing alongside. I'd like you to bow your head, please, and just for a few moments search your heart. I really mean it when I say that we are to pray and we are to set aside time, even for meals, to really commit our times to the Lord and asking him what we should be doing, how we should be responding, rather than just reacting or pointing fingers or finding fault with what somebody is doing that we don't agree with. Enough of that. That helps no one. This is a great time for you to determine, from this day on, I'm going to be involved in A, B, C, D. Spell it out. It may be teaching your children so that they don't make the mistakes you and I have made. It may mean taking a turn in the kind of Bible study you've been involved in so that you together make a difference in the community. May be involved in helping those who can't help themselves. Whatever. May God give you the courage to step up, to walk strong, and to speak up. Oh God, our times are in your hands, and we fully acknowledge it. Sometimes these days frighten us. First, we think we have no idea where it's going, and then we realize it's obvious that it's rapidly moving in another direction. And we want it to be moving in your direction. We want you to lead. We want you to use our church and us individually. We want you to make us uncomfortable with the status quo and break in and change us. Begin a process of reforming and reframing us so that we see ourselves as engaged in the needs of our times, not simply observing them or finding fault in them. By your grace, protect us during these days that are so volatile and frightening. Watch over our president and his cabinet and those who lead. Watch over those who are among the police and those who help us at law and order. Take care of us, Lord. We are your children and we need you and we trust you. Bless these people who have just patiently listened. May they now begin the process of responding for your glory, bowing before your cross in the name of Christ. I pray, and we all say, Amen. Amen.
You're listening to a time-sensitive message from Chuck Swindoll, arising from his study in the ancient book of Lamentations. Chuck calls this Old Testament book Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, Insight for Living is blessed to have access to a deep well of several thousand sermons, some of them dating back to the 1970s when this radio program first came on the air. Our current study, however, was delivered only a few weeks ago, and it's refreshing to hear Chuck's insight on the current cultural battles taking place in our world and to see the sobering parallels between Israel's rebellion and our own. We're living in harsh times when kindness is rare, when people are polarized by politics and emotions are spinning out of control. In times like these, God is calling us to a higher place. And if you're ready to rise above the heaviness and you'd appreciate a touch of levity in your day, let me recommend a classic book from Chuck called Laugh Again. It's squarely founded on the New Testament book of joy. From the first century to now, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians has taught people how to smile even when life is hard. You can purchase a copy of Laugh Again right now by going to insight.org or by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. In closing, let me say a word of thanks to our monthly companions and all those who give generously to Insight for Living Ministries. You're accomplishing far more than you'll ever know because your gift allows us to deliver the truth of God's Word to millions around the world. Thanks so much. And to give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org. It's almost impossible to escape the pervasive news these days. It's everywhere. And most of us are craving a break from the TV and a reprieve from the images of rage, disease, and civil unrest. In this volatile season, Insight for Living Ministries has continued to serve as a safe harbor where good news is celebrated. Many tell us that the Bible teaching from Chuck Swindoll provides a refreshing getaway from the chaos and confusion of our times. Well, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible in part by monthly companions, and we're inviting you to join this influential team of monthly supporters. Sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
In this hostile, meat-first world, people are craving just one gentle whiff of God's goodness and grace. And when we respond today, our simple act of generosity will be transformed into that irresistible sweet aroma of grace for someone we may never meet this side of eternity.
Become a regular monthly supporter by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll continues our study of Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, None But the Lonely Heart, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.